He's given us the scriptures, Bible, so that we can learn, so that we can then have patience, bearing up under the load that you carry, top of your shoulders, daily, and that you might have not only endurance, but you'd have comfort in bearing the load, and in bearing the load comfortably, looking to God with encouragement, that you have hope, and hope always is moving tomorrow. You don't have hope for yesterday. You don't have hope. Hope is looking for the next moment, because every moment is instantly moving to the next one. And at any given moment, you make a sentence from your mouth. That moment that you finish the sentence is all gone, let alone anything else. Moving rapidly. So we hope. You got to have hope. So you don't hang on to any moment. Now, having said that, then, back to Jeremiah and chapter 18. 18, Jeremiah. And remember, we shared together that Jeremiah has, chapter 17, has been going around the city of Jerusalem. And as he goes around the city of Jerusalem, he goes to each gate, and people are coming in and out 7 days a week. They're coming in and out, buying, selling, and everything else. So they're coming in and out of the city. And he goes from every gate, round and around and around. Now, and his subject matter is the Sabbath. Because, remember we shared together, that's the problem. They don't observe, they don't honor God. How do they show that they honor God? By observing the Sabbath. That is, they understood everything they'd have, 6 days, 7 days, or 100,000 days, is because of God, God's wonderful grace and mercy. So that to stop and acknowledge that, acknowledge God, honor God, not idolatry, not the system, God. So that was their assignment. But they didn't do that. So therefore the Sabbath is not observed at all. And not only the Sabbath, but then the seven-year Sabbath isn't observed at all. So you go back to Leviticus 25 and that. Every seventh year, they were to do nothing. Plant nothing, harvest nothing, and God would provide for a whole year. The sixth year would double everything enough and keep it from molding, rotting for a whole year. And God would keep them in plenty, it is plenty, for a whole year with doing nothing, just honoring God. They never observed that. We have no record that they did it. Now, in the light of that, so therefore we have all the years, they never observed the Sabbath year. And back over, just hold your finger here a minute, over to 2 Chronicles, one place to see it. Remember the judgment, Babylon, the Nebuchadnezzar is going to be able to judge the city because they have not honored God. How do they not honor God? By not observing the Sabbath year. And thus the land was to rest every 7 years. And the people never gave it any rest. And therefore, the land is going to get rest. And therefore, you have 70 years captivity. And therefore, chapter 36, 2 Chronicles, in verse 21. Remember now, this is Babylon's going to take everything. If I can, verse 18, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, and all these he brought to Babylon. Verse 19, and they burned the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire. and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, verse 20, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, verse 21. To fulfill all of this, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath. To fulfill what? 70 years or 70 years captivity. And so they have. So we have, they aren't going to fix the Sabbath, but God is going to make it very clear why. They haven't put the pieces together at all. They're just sort of charging along, and things are going downhill, and they just don't care. So now, having said that little bit, over in chapter 18, Jeremiah's going around the city, and God says, I want you to leave what you're doing, and I want you to go south on the banks in the southern part there where the clay and the mud was, where they made pottery. And that's where he went down to. And you'll read that in chapter 18 as we read. And the word was, and the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there where I will cause thee to hear my words. And he went down, Jeremiah did, and he went down to the potter's house, and behold, he made a work on the wheels. Remember that we shared all that together. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. Potter is making it, and as he handles the clay, molding it, he feels the flaws in the mud, in the clay, and it has to be rejected. And he made it clay. The clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. In other words, he stopped making what he was doing, got rid of whatever the problem was to his satisfaction, and then he went and continued to go and make it again. Jeremiah is watching this. You've seen a potter do that thing, kind of thing up in Sturbridge or something, where they go and make it, and you watch them. That's what they do. Wow. So there he is, Jeremiah, is doing this. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, marred, remember, means spoiled, ruined, corrupted, and we shared together in the process of looking at that so we'd understand it, because God's saying, as Israel, as the potter and the clay, so Israel. Now, and we went way back to see this word marred, ruined, so we could see humans. Humans, like the clay, needs to be redone. And so we read that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 12, etc. All flesh is corrupt, there's your word, marred, corrupt, spoiled, ruined. That's why the flood, that's why they all went. It was ruined. God started them outright. They all did wrong, and it was ruined. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, therefore, and remember now, we without turning there, Deuteronomy and that, and they were utterly corrupted. That means the word, the double verb, intensity and certainty. They were certainly corrupted. They were certainly ruined, marred. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, go over with me, please, in your Bible to Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45. And if I can, get the flavor of this. Remember the clay. In Isaiah chapter 45, may I go to verse 7. Remember, I made a vessel. The potter made a vessel. Made, formed, fashioned, an artisan, skilled craftsman. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, sliding down to verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. There's your word. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, that what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Not understanding what you are, you're trying to be something different than what you really are. And that's helpful to today. Now, in the light of that, over to chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. And picking up again, just to get the flavor of it, so the God using it, clay, people, potter, God's God, God's the creator. Chapter 29, going to verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who seeth us? Who knoweth us? No one sees and no one knows. Surely your turning things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? No, not at all. Not at all. And thus, as you proceed in Isaiah 64. In other words, Israel is disregarding God. Obviously, they just are disregarding that they're clay. And therefore, as you proceed in the book of Isaiah, we go to chapter 64, I should say. Isaiah 64. And, if I may, picking up the thought, verse 6. We are all as an unclean, Isaiah 64, 6. We all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and hath consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We acknowledge that. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. God, we're going to own up. We own up. We've been trying to do it all ourselves and claiming for ourselves, professing ourselves, Romans 1, to be wise, we became fools. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, go over with me, please, thinking of that, over to Job. They have to own up. They have to see it. And Israel will see it, but not yet. Over to the book of Job, chapter 10. And Job is going to use it several times of the clay. He says, I know we're clay. That's Job. I know we're clay, dust. From dust we are, dust we'll go back to. Job chapter 10, picking up, if I may, in verse 8. Thine hands have made me, fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? God, you made me what I am, and I have all the wonderfulness because you did it. And God, I understand that, said Job. Am I going to go in the light of all my problems? Am I going to go back to the dust from which I came? Verse 10. Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Hast thou clothed me with skin and flesh? And hath fenced me with bones and sinew. God, who created me? Who made me like this? You did. Verse 12. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit. So God, here's Job, and you're understanding all of that. Uh-huh, I am. Israel, you are. Jeremiah, you're trying to get them to wake up. They aren't going to wake up. They don't want to wake up. Over, if you would, while you're in Job, to chapter 42. Job is going to end for us his wonderful exercise. Very difficult exercise, but he is faithful in the whole thing. And in Job chapter 42, verse 1, remember now that God is going to bless Job because Job has trusted God all the way down the line in the process. Then Job, like Caleb, followed the Lord wholly. Chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do, there's your little verb, thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be holden from thee. I know, God, you can do everything. There's no question. And, verse 3, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered what I understood not. I talked a whole lot about you, God, but I didn't know. I didn't understand. God, when I had to look at you again, I had to change my whole tone, my tune, my whole thing. God, I had to redo it. God, you're something else. Now, I understood things that I understood not. Verse 3. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now mine eye seeth thee. God, I've got an understanding of you that I didn't have. Therefore, you want to be a king. No, therefore, verse 6, wherefore, I abhor myself in repent and dust and ashes. What happens when you grow, when you know? You change. You're humbled. That's what happens. Why? Because God, you get saved and come to know the Lord as your Savior. And then you go through the exercise inch by inch until you're where you have to learn awesome things of that God, you are, boy, I didn't even realize who you were. God, I didn't know. I didn't understand, like we looked at the galaxies and that. Wow. God, you're big. Uh-huh. You're awful big. God, there's nothing. There's no way to even talk about you because you're so great. And otherwise, God, you wouldn't be God. You have to be very great. You can't be little. You have to be great. And he is. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, now, keeping that out there, and one other place on our way back, over to Psalm 85, just to pick it up again. Remember, I will make it again. I'm going to turn it around, refresh, remake. I'm going to do it again. Now, here's the psalmist, and here's the verb. I'll just give it to you. Psalm 85, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land, and thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. There's your word, mar, to make it again. Thou hast brought back the captivity. Uh-huh. Sliding down. Verse 4. Turn us. There's your word again. Make it again. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Again. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? There's your verb again. Marred. Make it again. That thy people may rejoice in thee. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear, verse 8, what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again, there's the word, to return, make it again. Don't turn again to folly or foolishness. Don't do that. So having said that, that's what God's looking for. And Israel, is Israel going to turn in chapter 18? No, they aren't going to turn around at all. No way, they aren't even considering turning around. No, so back over to chapter 18, Jeremiah. So they aren't going to turn around. They need to turn around. They're corrupt. They're marred. like we shared in the rag that was the girdle that was rotted in chapter 13, etc. Israel is going to be going to captivity. We just read it. They haven't honored God. Haven't honored God at all. So chapter 18, we've shared, verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, after looking at the vessel made, and the potter made it again, as he saw fit, O house of, now God's going to tell him the lesson. Jeremiah, this is what I want you to understand. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Do you understand? As the potter did whatever with the clay, I'm going to do with you, with Israel. And I'm going to do it. And Israel defies it. The clay tries to say there is no one that made us, and we're all by our lonesome. We're king of the mountain. No, they weren't. They weren't at all. And God said, I'm going to make the clay again. And shall not I do with them as I see fit? Cannot I do that? Cannot, up in verse 6, cannot, verb, I do with you as this potter. Cannot I do with you? Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, now, you'll remember, if you would, since we did it in 7 o'clock, remember Joshua and Caleb? They went into the land, spied out the land from Kadesh Barnea, and they came back after the 40 days, and Caleb and Joshua brought a good report. And they said, we are able. Now that's the word, cannot. Cannot. Am I not able to do with you as I wish? Thus, here's Caleb, we are able. We are able. And he did that. The next verse, 31, in Numbers 13, and the people said, we are not able. Same verb. Caleb says, we can do it. They said, we can't do it. Very opposite. And then you go over to chapter 14, and they wouldn't let the Lord do what he could do. The Lord was able, but they didn't want the Lord to do what he was able to do. Now, having said that, now go. So what happened? They spent 38 years in the wilderness because they didn't believe God was able. Did they get cured of that unbelieving blindness of heart to God's wonderful ability to be who he is? No. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And in Psalm 78, may I go to verse 4, little context. We will not hide, speaking of helping children, young people, because they didn't live in the days of Moses, etc., and therefore they had to be reminded and taught from history that which occurred, so that we can understand where we are today. And if we destroy yesterday, how can you know where you are today? And when you go around destroying everything about yesterday, you lose your understanding of why you're here and history. And when you lose it, you have an evolutionary approach. We're just sort of accident. That's where we are. Now, in the light of that, we will not hide them from the children, showing the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works, which he hath done. The end of verse 4. Do. Cannot I do? Cannot I do? Am I not able? And God, you did. Over to verse 12. Marvelous things, little verb, did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. God, you reminded them of the wonderful things you did. How on earth did they get out of Egypt? They got out of Egypt in your marvelous wisdom and ways. and they got out of there in your great power, and all the plagues and all the wonderment, crossing the Red Sea and everything. Now, so you came back from the land, Caleb, Joshua, we are able, but then, what do you say? Everyone says, we're not able. But God said, we're able, God is able, that's right. So now, in the wilderness, I'm interested, after they come back, 38 years in the wilderness, sliding down to verse 17. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Is God able to feed? Help us. And that's where the manna and everything. And they just didn't believe. Everything, nothing satisfied them. Whatever you do, nothing satisfies. Nothing. And there's your little verb. God said, cannot I do with the clay as I wish? I'm the potter. The Israel, you aren't going to let God be God, are you? You're going to think you are the creator, the potter. But you want the potter, your only clay. That's all. Verse 20, behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he, there's your word, can he provide flesh for his people? Can God, is God able? Well, just the marvel. Being in the presence of God and getting, you got to have, again, you don't want to sit there and think of a little puddle. You got to think of over 2.5 million people and all the animals. You can't imagine that. Think of the state of Connecticut. Was it 3 million in the state or whatever? God gushed it. Rivers. That was awesome. Awesome. In the desert. Boy, that was impressive. But you know what? It didn't matter what God did. And that's true for everything. When we want something on our terms, it doesn't matter what any, there's no argument, there's no reason. We don't go by it. We have a thing we want, and that's what we're going to go for. And that's what they're doing. Now, so here is Israel, and Israel is in not a good shape at all. Now, over, if you would, to pick up the thought, Daniel. Daniel, we have the same verb only in the Chaldean, or Aramaic, Chaldean. And in Daniel chapter 3, you'll pick up the flavor of it again. God said, cannot I do whatever I want to do with a piece of clay? Wow. Now, hang on to that. And they didn't want to be, they acknowledged they're a piece of clay, but they didn't believe that they were responsible to anybody. And they were wrong. The dust out there, on the ground, the dirt, it's only dirt. It can't become anything. It's powerless. Just dirt. And without some help and other things, it's just more dirt. More dirt. And more dirt. I could have brought you out. I have different bags of dirt, depending on the red earth and stuff, Genesis. A dirt, that's all it is. Dirt. A dust. Now, so in Daniel chapter 3, here we're getting the, are they understanding God's wonderful in days of Daniel? Chapter 3, verse 16. 3 and 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If so be our God, whom we serve, is able, there's your word, cannot I do with a piece of clay what I want? Am I not able? And what are you going to say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? God is able. They believe God is able. Jeremiah, are you finding people that believe? They don't believe. They don't believe God's able. They don't even care if he's able. Now, Verse 17, if our God be whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, he will deliver us out of the hand of the king. So here's, they believed he was able. Over to chapter 3, if I may, in verse 29. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. The little word deliver, able to deliver, there's no one. There's God. All our gods are just gods. Gods. We can handle them, put them in the wastebasket, and do whatever we want with them. But God, you're the only one. You're the only one that's able to do this. That's right. Nebuchadnezzar, did you find that out? Absolutely. That's what I got from these guys. And not only, Darius, are you going to get it? Oh, I am. Over to chapter 6. And remember, Daniel, in chapter 6, may pick up, please, in verse 20. Remember Daniel now in the lion's den and all of that stuff? And in verse 19, then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice, because he didn't want to have to do that to Daniel. He was tricked into doing it. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God... Now, Darius is excited because Daniel could have been all eaten up in a lion's belly. But I mean, he's believing. He's going, Daniel, call to me out of the lion's belly. No, he didn't do that. He didn't say that. He said, Daniel, I don't know. What do I do, Daniel? Verse 20. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able? There's your word. God said, can I do with the play as I want? Absolutely. Is God able to deliver thee from the lions? Well, absolutely. Absolutely he is. No question about it. So now, having said that, back over, if you would please, to Isaiah. God, you can do whatever you want. And Israel just isn't going to catch on. And here's Isaiah, even before, 100 years or so, before Jeremiah. And in the process, they aren't paying attention to anything from yesterday or anything that was said. And my, what a mistake that was. Isaiah, if I can, chapter 46. Isaiah 46, you'll see it just a couple of places to get the flavor of it over and over again. Isaiah 46. May I go, please, to verse 9. Remember the former things of old. Why? For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do. There, am not I able to do? Cannot I do with the clay? My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Wow. Verse 11. Calling a ravenous bird, that's Cyrus, from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. And then the end. I will also do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Can't I do what I want to do? Chapter 48. If I can, in verse 11. For mine own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. God, you're going to do what you're going to do. Israel, and et cetera, context. And for how should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory unto another. No. and verse 14. All ye assemble yourselves and hear, which among them hath declared these things. The Lord hath loved him. He will do his, there's your little verb, he will do his pleasure in Babylon. His arm shall be on the Chaldeans. God, are you going to take care of Babylon? I am. In due season, no question. Can you take us? You're going to do with us, Israel. Are you going to do with Babylon? Yes, I am. I'm going to do it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to all on our way, just to the power of God, a little different, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21 reminding us, King Solomon. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth, the word ponder, to determine, participle. He is determining. He determines the heart. We have this thing in Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing judgment is God's. So when it's all done, God, everyone's doing what they're doing. Ah, that's what they're doing. A whole lot of doing. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would please to Romans. Cannot I do with Israel as the potter does with a piece of clay? Sure you can. And he does, and he will. God has a wonderful plan for Israel, and God's going to fulfill that plan. Israel doesn't want it, but God does. Abraham wanted it. Isaac wanted it. Jacob wanted it. Moses wanted it. Joshua and Caleb wanted it. David wants it. Not everyone wants it. Nope, not at all. We're quite content if we went over there to Israel now, let alone any place else in the world. And you would find that you would find a setting, you ought to be on your toes, you're surrounded by the enemy, and everyone, there's all kinds of stuff to protect you, hopefully, from everything coming into the air. And you don't know when. Terrorists, who don't know when, who, what, where, when. You don't know. But we're content. We're content in that. Are we turning to God? We go to the Wailing Wall. But you aren't looking to God. You got to look to God. And you aren't doing that. So therefore, just like Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to end up taking the city. The Antichrist is going to do what he does, ultimately, to Jerusalem. So now, Romans chapter 9, picking up, if I can, verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump he maketh one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor. What if God, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction? Wow. God, can't you do what you do? Now, hang on to that, because you remember in Romans 9, 10, and 11 are all about helping you understand Israel in the light of the church. When you come to the end of the section, Israel, chapter 11. In chapter 11. And you will note, I'll read it since it's an awesome thing, verse 33. Well, 32 even. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Well, no one. No one. Or who, verse 35, who hath first given to him, and it should be recompensed unto him again? Who ever gave God anything? No one had any right, power, anyway. No one can give God anything. You're clay. Thus, movement. For to him, for of him, he's the source. And through him, everything has to go through him. God works out all the details. And to him, he's the end object. God starts it, God works it out, and God finishes it. All these things to whom be glory forever and ever. God, so all of it, potter of the clay, I'll do with you as I wish. For what? My honor and glory. I'm going to do it. And Jeremiah, you know it. Israel doesn't know it. And they're going to go into captivity. They're going to end up where they are today. And a little later, into tribulation coming up. And you're going to have to learn it. And we remember Deuteronomy? That's where they're going to learn. Where is Israel going to learn? They need to turn to God in the tribulation. Not in the day of grace. In the tribulation. They're going to turn around as a nation. Wow. So God, here we're looking. So now, God, looking at us, here we are. So God, here we are, the potter. Cannot I do with you as I wish? Uh-huh, you can. Absolutely. Now, what do I know? Without turning there, you know what? Our Lord Jesus Christ said that whatever the Father hath, his words, his works, bear witness, and I represent him. Without him, I do nothing, and nothing of myself. I am there to represent the Father in all of his wonderful fullness. That's what he's there for. And then you go to tell us, Lord, who've received you as our Savior, you tell us in John chapter 15, you tell us to go and abide in your wonderful person, John 15. And if we don't abide and rest like a branch, without me you can do nothing at all. So you have to abide. But what the branch do? The branch doesn't decide how much fruit. The branch doesn't decide how many leaves. The branch doesn't have any life. The life is in the trunk of the tree, feeding that branch and giving it life. Without me, he said, you can do nothing at all. So having said that, without me, that you can do nothing. Therefore, if you would, Ephesians, if you would. There's Romans, there's all kinds of places, but here's a place. Just to remind you, God, him we are. Israel, cannot I do as the potter and make it again? The clay? Absolutely. What are we? We're clay. We're vessels of dust. And that the power might and the excellency might be of God. So God, here we are looking. So here in Ephesians in chapter 2, reminding us. Ephesians chapter 2. We are his workmanship created. How can this be so? Created in Christ Jesus. We aren't a piece of clay in a potter's house at all. You are a believer in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's where God is working on you. He's working on his Son in you. In you. You're a piece of clay. The piece of clay has fulfilled its wonderful purpose of being clay, that God, the excellency of the power may be of God. And God, what are you going to do? I'm going to work out the wonderful purpose of my Son in your heart. That's what I'm going to do. Wow. And thus, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then you know all this. Think of all of them. We are, Philippians 1:6. We are his workmanship. Workmanship. God hath begun a good work in you. God started a good work. Philippians 2. work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's all, God, what are we doing? We're looking to you to outwork. What are we trying to be molded like? What are you going to make us? You're going to make us like your son. That's what you're going to do. And thus, in the process then, of making us, we cannot do it. Now, using the clay, nations, Israel, persons, God, we can't do anything like the clay. The clay can't do anything. The clay, it needs to be soft and yielding. And if I had a piece of hard clay, of that I could show you the difference between, you know it, clay, soft, molded, hard, like a rock, no good. People get hard. You can't squeeze them into anything. Wow. You start out all right. God starts out little life and grows and has a wonderful prospect of turning to the Lord and getting saved and growing and knowing. But then it doesn't do it. It becomes hard. It doesn't go anywhere. God had a wonderful plan for it. But the child grew to be an adult. And God could do anything else. All finished. Wow. Huh. So God, here we are looking. So the clay needs to be soft and yielding. Clay doesn't give any advice. Any advice to the potter, to God? Are we going to give advice to God? God, this is what I want. This is what you should do with my life. This is what I think should be. No. clay doesn't give any advice to the potter. People, that we just read it. Who is my counselor? Who's going to come and counsel me, said God, on what I should do with your life? Who's going to tell me what I should do? So who is brazen enough to even think like that? Well, God, I got it. So the clay, we're clay, so we don't give any advice, and we don't have any complaints. Do you remember the last time you had a piece of clay in your hand, a molding clay? When did the clay give you advice on what you wanted to do? The only thing I ever made out of clay 1,000 years ago was a snake. I still have it. It's a snake. You know, you put it, mold it, make a snake. And I have that, a green snake. I have it coiled up with a thing out like that. You know, I have it. That's the only thing I made. I made it when I was 2, I think. Whatever. Clay doesn't say anything. No complaint. There's no complaint. Who are you going to complain to? You're going to say, you can't complain. No complaint. Reckon yourself what? Dead. Dead people don't complain. They don't complain. But I complain. They got a whole lot of stuff. Yeah, who cares about that? Now, so here we are. God, clay has no advice, gives no advice, no complaints. And in the process, to work out, it's going to be the beauty of it, the marvel of what it becomes. The only credit goes to the craftsman. You know, if I took a brush and was a painter, and I painted a wonderful picture. Now, you could paint the picture and be just as nice, seemingly, but you know what? If I was Michelangelo or somebody, and I did it, wouldn't it be different? What made the painting different? The artist. What makes you different? God. God makes you different. And it isn't us. There's nothing beautiful, brawn, beauty, no. No, not at all. No, God, the credit goes on to you. And if anyone is going to be admired, it's you, God. It's your work, your honor, your glory. And God is an awesome thing. So, God, you're trying to encourage the people. Israel doesn't want to get encouraged to go and to be able to go. Cannot I do with the clay as I want? And the clay says, you can't do anything that we don't want, and we're going to reject you and leave you out of the picture. And that's what happens. That can happen to nation Israel. It can happen in the countries of the world. it can happen in a personal life. You just don't allow God to fashion you after his image. That's what it's about.